Let's talk about it.
Hello and welcome back to Thick Radio, the podcast where we talk about gaining, feedism, and everything in their orbit. I'm James.
And I'm Tim, so let's get into it. Today we're welcoming to the show for the first time. Today we've got Bruce.
Hey!
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Doing good.
Doing really good. We're so excited to have you on. We're honored to have you. You're someone who, well, this is the whole point of this episode, really, what we're going to be talking about today. We're excited to have you on, and we're really glad that you've agreed to chat with us today. So listen, as a quick disclaimer here, people, we've had a bit of a chat about this, and we just want to make sure that T's are crossed and I's are dotted. This that we're going to be doing today, this is an episode that Tim and I have wanted to do for some time. And we're only getting around to doing this now because we were looking for the right person who is happy to speak on this subject. And of course, today we're talking about notoriety, popularity, gromalebrity, whatever term you like to use, whatever terms you think are appropriate. That's what we're going to be chatting about today. And obviously, there's a lot of questions, there's a lot of thoughts, feelings, and opinions. We're going to be delving into that today, okay? So we just want to encourage everyone, we're having a chat, all right? Let's all get ready for a good time. Bruce, are you ready?
I'm ready, absolutely.
Fantastic. Well, look, let's do this. And we're going to kick things off real easy. Give us an idea about your gaining journey so far. Give us the cliff notes.
Yeah, I mean, super simple. Growing up, I was rail thin. I was the skinny person in my family. I come from a very, very obese family. I am still the skinniest person in my family, just as a little bit of a heads up there. But so I've always had this desire to grow. And once I hit about, 24 or so, I just finished up. I was going to the gym 6 days a week. I was working out for an hour, 2 hours a time. I had six pack abs and I just wanted to get big. And so I found Grommer and I started eating and eating and eating and eating. And ever since that happened about 10 years ago or so, I've been gaining and then decreasing over time just based upon, you know, my life circumstances or what have you. But the goal has always been go up. And so over the past 10 years, over fluctuation, I've doubled my weight and I'm looking to keep going.
Love it. I mean, I love that you talk as well about fluctuation, just as an aside here, because this is something that I think we really struggle with as a community. We have a tendency to talk about this never-ending growth, this idea of push, 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 you'll get there. And I do believe you absolutely will. But we very rarely have conversations around the setbacks. And sometimes those setbacks are choices we actively make. Sometimes they're for health. Sometimes they're for other reasons. Sometimes they're unintentional. Everything's valid because there should never be judgment. But just as a little side question here for you, how did you process those kinds of setbacks? Were they intentional for you at the time, or were they maybe the product of something a little bit different?
Yeah, absolutely. So setbacks for me are very much emotionally based. They're very much, you know, can I afford food at the time? That's a big thing, unfortunately, especially like the past couple of years with inflation. They are emotionally driven in the aspect of like, if I'm not in a good mental space, because I do handle depression, I do handle a lot of anxiety, I do handle a lot of those emotions that a lot of us handle. If those are overwhelming me, I can't eat. And as a result, if I look in the mirror and I've lost a couple pounds, it hits me really hard because I'm like, this isn't who I'm supposed to be. So as far as the setbacks go, they are never intentional, but I also have learned over the years to give myself as much grace as I can during them because I know it'll come back. And that's just a realistic aspect of this whole entire gaining culture, right? It's that whole, We put so much pressure on ourselves to gain and to constantly grow and to do this, and it's hot and it's wonderful and I want to do it every single minute of my day. But the realistic aspect is that I can't do it, and however much I want to dive into it, it's not always feasible. So, in the aspect of losing culture and the gaining aspect, like, it's hard, but it's something that needs to unfortunately happen for some people. And you never look at someone and go, "Well, you're losing. You're not a gainer anymore." Like, no, they're just going through it, but.
We need this conversation. We need it more, and we need it more every passing day because, my God, we need to shift our focus away from blame and more into that love and acceptance that I think can help people to move forward. And again, I think this is so important to hear from someone, again, like yourself, that a lot of people hold in a high regard because maybe people gonna start listening. Maybe people are gonna pay a little bit more attention to that. But again, things we're going to get into today. And again, thank you for sharing that aspect of your journey. So, talking, I guess, a little bit now about that, how do you feel your treatment in the community has shifted from when you first joined 10 years ago to where you are now?
Oh my goodness. It has shifted quite a bit. I can tell you that much. When I joined, I had just recently put on about 20 to 30 pounds, and I was a shirtless profile. I was quiet in the background. I said I wanted to feed people. I wanted to be a feeder. I wanted to grow people. But deep down, I just wanted to get big myself, and that's just the truth of it. And so when I, first started out, when I was 24, 25 years old, I was a quiet background person. Like, I observed the community. I didn't really say any much anything. I didn't really interact. And then I just kind of started posting more about my gaining journey, and I felt validated with it. I felt validated with it because you would get a comment or two on your photo, and so I kept pushing. And it kind of spiraled a little bit into what it is today. Yeah, I mean that's kind of the base roots of my early grammar experience.
Similar for me. I started to have weight come on naturally, like just from getting older and binge drinking on the weekends. And because I had been an encourager, admirer before that, and felt validated in what response I was getting. And then fortunately for me, like I ended up being turned on by it because I honestly think if I hadn't been turned on by it, I wouldn't be a gainer. I would have lost the weight and just stayed an encourager, admirer. But it's interesting how sometimes you start off as one thing or you're going in one direction and then suddenly something shifts and you're like, oh, well, actually it turns out that this was the thing that I should have been doing the whole time. I just didn't realize it.
We all come into it at different times. We've spoken to some people before who were new to the community, but in their late 40s, early 50s, some people discover this, like myself, when you're a very young age and you're watching the Santa Claus and you're just staring at that belly bouncing up and down and thinking, I can't stop looking at this. And then some people it's different, and I think that's kind of the beauty. We all come into it in our own way, and all of our bodies are different, all of our journeys are different. I really identify, by the way, Bruce, with what you said on being emotionally connected to your gains, because I'm someone who I've struggled with depression for a lot of my life, and when I decided that I wanted to start gaining, I had not been through any process of dealing with my trauma or dealing with my poor mental health. And so for the first good couple of years of gains, I was going from 100 to 150 and just screaming at myself, like, why can I not do this? Why can I not get past this? But plot twist, because I wasn't looking after my mental health, I wasn't in any kind of position to really grow because I was binging every now and again. But because I wasn't learning to love myself, I wasn't loving myself enough to feed myself consistently. I wasn't loving myself enough to invest in better foods and learning how to cook interesting foods because Texture exhaustion is a thing, flavor exhaustion is a thing, and I gotta learn how to work past it. You know, it's just one of those things. And so funny that learning how to deal with my mental health meant that I finally started making progress. So again, I think it's really important to have that conversation. For some of us, this is just a thing we need to deal with, and the sooner you get on board, the sooner you can start making progress. So if you were looking for a sign to start dealing with your mental health,
Here it is.
right there, baby, right there. So let's dig into, I think, a contentious term that a lot of people like to use. Gromalebrity. So, Gromalebrity, what are your thoughts on the word, first of all?
I hate it. Oh my gosh, I hate it.
Tell me more. Why?
There is kind of go into a little bit of a story here with this. Is that allowed? Okay.
Absolutely.
Go for it, baby. You have the floor.
This is not a self-deprecating. This is not a like, oh, woe is me thing. This is just my experience of my life. I was a weird kid. I'm not talking like, oh, he's a little off. I'm talking like I had my neighborhood friends approach me and say, I don't want to be seen with you at school. I was weird. Okay. I was into Pokemon. I was hyper focused on whatever I was focused on, and I couldn't break away from whatever that was. I was high energy. I was teacher's pet. I was this annoying child. And during my elementary school years, I learned that no one wanted me. Point blank. My family was always there to take care of me. I had a great core family, 100%. But that impacts you in a social aspect. You know, it impacts you in a, oh, I'm never going to be something that somebody wants. I'm never going to be popular, I'm never going to be what have you. And then middle school, high school came. I turned into a library kid in middle school, and I turned into a band geek in high school, where I stayed in the corner and played board games with my friends. But so the term Gromalebrity to me, it doesn't, like, I don't mind the term itself. I just don't apply it to me because I've never grown to the point where I can see myself that way. I've never grown to the point where I can see myself as anything other than the weird person that no one wants to be with. So it's a weird subject for me in this regard, because it's not something that I identify with, but it's something that other people tell me I am, if that makes sense.
Something that it brings to mind here, and bear with me on this one. Talking to a friend of mine outside of the community, she does a lot of research into race politics, and something that she made me aware of, which I found really interesting, is we have that term passing, right? To be passing, and there is an implication with passing. Let's say white passing. You are passing as white. The implication is that you are trying to code as white. You are trying to be white. You're trying to hide your blackness to be white. But in many cases, that's not what's happening. People do not get a choice in their skin tone. And Tim?
Welcome to my world. I was just about to say, welcome to every day of my life.
As a mixed race black man, you are objectively
I
like.
am white passing, and I know that I'm white passing. I know that when people look at me, they don't see. I mean, they can tell that there's something there, they just don't know what it is. And so they usually make wild guesses, but it's rare is the day that someone guesses correctly.
And the reason why I bring that up is because what she introduced me to is actually to pivot that understanding and reference it more as to assume or assuming. So let's say I meet you, Tim, for the first time. I'm assuming that you're white. So you are white assumed because you are assumed to be white. But similarly, I am in the process of white assuming. That places responsibility on me because I'm projecting my expectations onto you. And we're talking about a very powerful subject being race. So actually, it's an important delineation from the idea of passing, which for some people, maybe that is a conversation in their own right. But the reason why I bring that up is because, Bruce, as you mentioned, that idea of being a Gromalebrity is not something you identify as for yourself, but it is something people put on you. And that's why I bring it up, because I feel like that is an important framing. We need to be conscious that as we participate, and Tim and I, we know consciously the word Gromalebrity. There are probably people who we would presume or assume to be Gromalebrities because we put that on someone. But just because we put that on someone does not mean it's the same story on the other side. And I wonder if this maybe leads to some of that disparity in conversation, some of that, you've expressed that sense of having grown up being the weird kid, and that sense of feeling like you're not in a position to be able to be sociable because people reject. But then, as people are projecting this expectation of popularity onto you, I imagine that that's probably quite isolating as well. Is that right?
In its own way, yeah. Because it's who's gonna see me for me? It's who's going to be able to remove the gainer aspect of me and actually see the other sides of me that are there. I'm not trying to downplay the gainer side of me. Like that is a very, very important key aspect of who I am. Like 100%. There's a reason I'm posting videos and photos and things and looking for validation. Like there's a reason for it, right? But my trail of thought just completely went away there.
Well, let me ask this. Talking about, that sense of isolation, and you've concurred that there is that element of it. As much as you feel comfortable, tell us a little bit more about how that makes you feel. Whenever someone comes to you, whether it's intentional or not, whether their motives are positive or negative, and someone comes to you, and whether or not it's that word, but the implication is you're so popular, you're so this, and it's this projection of a thing, and they're projecting it onto you. How does that make you feel?
It's a mixed emotion, because it makes my inner gainer feel seen. It makes that like, oh, you are working hard for this, and it is being shown in the world, and you are working towards something, and it's being appreciated by other people. On the other side of things, like it makes me feel slightly uncomfortable because I'm like, I don't know who you are. And I cannot give everyone the time they deserve. And that's honestly the hard part is I get a fair number of people approaching me. I get that. But I'm not able to give everyone the time they deserve to build a friendship with me, to build a relationship, to build what have you. So it also makes me feel quite guilty.
There's so many big emotions there to unpack, and I think one of the things I would want to kind of address here is this. I think there is a responsibility we have as people, because I wouldn't call myself a Gromalebrity. I don't know many people who would identify with that label, but I certainly don't consider myself in that vein. I would consider myself whatever you call it when you're on the other side of it, and I feel like those of us who are in that collective, that majority, need to take some responsibility on remembering the human behind the identity that we're looking at, right? Because, and I think we see a lot of this now with like drag queens from Drag Race, and they talk about, what it's like to go from being a local girl to being accosted at airports. And Trixie Mattel and Katya, the two greatest examples of this, they are celebrities in their own right. They do make their money. They are out here trying to be famous, and they are out here doing stuff, but they are also humans who are just trying to go down the bodega to get a bottle of milk. And sometimes it's 6 o'clock in the morning, and your hair rollers are in, and your dressing gown is on, and people want things from you, and you just don't want to give it. And that is your human right to say no. And I feel like many of us who might yearn for more recognition in the community probably don't appreciate the fact that if we were in a position where people were consistently expecting us or even demanding time, effort, and energy from us, that that would actually be quite a taxing experience. Like, I can barely deal with a Teams message at work. Like, I'm trying to do my job. What do you want? Leave me alone.
I don't know. Maybe this is selfish of me. Maybe I just am living out a delusional fantasy, but it would be kind of nice if I was just out and about and someone was like, "Oh, aren't you from, Thick Radio?" Like, I would be flattered by that, but that's probably because where I live in my gay community, I have seen these homos for the past 22 years. And it's like, I already know all of y'all. I'm kind of bored with you people. So a little thing, something a little unexpected would be nice.
Well, actually, fun fact, I can speak to that because I went to Bear Bash in Manchester earlier this year, and I had the delight of meeting Joe Arcana. Shout out if you're listening. Because I was talking to someone, I can't quite remember who, but in the conversation, they turned to me and they inject and said, "I'm sorry, excuse me, are you wouldn't happen to be one of the hosts of Thick Radio, would you?" And I was just snatched. I was like, okay, what? Like, I did not think anyone would ever do this. But then it kind of dawned on me. I'm like, I'm at a public bear event. These are the listeners. Someone can hear me prattling on and go, maybe that's him. And then it wasn't. It was a lovely chat, and it was a wonderful experience. So, it is, I will admit, it is nice, right, to have that moment of recognition. But also, I think a difference there is I'm at an event to be sociable. I'm dressed to impress, meaning my gut was out and I was snacking on chips. Like, I was in the mood that if someone wanted to tell me that I was pretty, I would be like, yes, I am, and tell me more. Versus what I imagine is when you're at home, when you're at work, when you are maybe trying to have some downtime and trying to maybe have a little bit of that peace and introspection. And because of those expectations, people are knocking at the door and trying to get a piece of that. Like, on a more personable level here, would you say you're that kind of introverted person who needs to have that, like, alone time? Because
100%. 100%. So I literally went to my first real gay bar 3 months ago. Like, I don't get out of the house. I sit here and I record and I order Uber Eats, and that's my life. play video games occasionally. I'll work on a quilt, but that's about it. I'm a bit of a workaholic when I do have a job. Like, I'm the person that will always say yes if someone needs to be called in or what have you. Because I like that sense of feeling like I'm helping that team out in a way. But beyond that, I'm inside. I'm an introvert. I keep my doors closed. I don't let people in. I don't, like, my sister has always said he does great in public, but if left to his own devices, he will lock himself in the room until the rest of time.
I can identify with that 100%. And sometimes, and again, maybe you can relate to this, when you're in public, you can certainly perform to an effervescence. And obviously, I do it here on the podcast, and I am quite the social butterfly in the right circumstances. But when I need my energy, I cannot be around people. I must have my alone time. I must be allowed to disappear into a book or a video game, or put my headphones in and go for a walk. I just need to do something to take myself out of the world and disappear for a bit. And that helps me to refill, recharge, and get back to a place of being okay. But again, I get to have that on my daily basis. And in fact, I was saying to Tim earlier, whenever we get on the phone, it seems that's the moment that people are messaging on Instagram. And I don't get frustrated necessarily, but I do sort of cock an eye where I'm like, ugh. Now I'm talking to my friend, and now all of you want to talk, and I can't talk to everyone all at once. It's a lot to do. I'm just trying to talk to the people that I've made time for. Why are we all talking now? And again, I can understand that if I can feel that, on just like a general day with no pressure in the world, I can't imagine what that's like for yourself. I mean, not to again make this about numbers or anything like that, but do we have a ballpark figure of how many unread messages you've got going on?
Over 10.
10 messages?
A lot over 10.
A lot.
Sitting somewhere, and this is not something I am proud of. This is not like a number that I'm like, oh my gosh, because this is a number of people that have reached out to me, that have tried to make a connection to me, that I don't have time to respond to, that I don't have energy to respond to, that, I'm at work and I've done two doubles 2 days in a row, and someone blocked me by the end of the second day because they were just like, oh, you're just so popular, you're never going to get back to me. I have 2,500 unread messages
Wow.
in my Grammar account. And every single one of those is a pang of guilt. Every single one of those is, I'm so sorry, I don't have time to get back to you. I am so sorry, I don't have the energy to invest in the conversation. And not every conversation is worth it. Not every conversation is worth the hi, how are you? Good, how are you? Great. Like one word messages. Like I'm not counting those. I'm counting the ones that truly are trying to make that connection, that have messaged me two, three times in a row. Like, I'm sorry. Is anytime I log in, like I see that number and I just get pained with guilt again. Like I just feel sorry that I don't have time for everyone.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
For as much as the internet has managed to connect everybody in unprecedented ways, do y'all sometimes just miss the days when you weren't available 24 hours a day? When you
Yes.
had to call someone, and if they just weren't home, they weren't home. You left a message and they got
Yeah.
back to you whenever they could. Like, there is something very nostalgic about the days when there was one phone in the house with a 2 mile long cord that could stretch from the kitchen all the way to the back bedroom if necessary. And the answering machines with a hi, we're not in right now. Please leave a message. We'll call you back. Like,
It's an interesting commentary on access, but also on what we as people believe we are entitled to, right? And I feel like this is maybe the sticking point that we need to talk about for a second, because, and my heart breaks for you, Bruce, honestly, because I can imagine what that's like to understand that there are people who want to connect, but based on your personal time available and also the volume of people who want to connect, it's not always doable. And I do think people forget that, right? Even so far as like their favorite Rue Girl. Oh, I tagged her in this, I sent her a DM, I shared this to my story, and she didn't notice. And I'm like, girly, she's not even the one managing her Instagram most of the time. Like, she's now at a level of fame. She has to hire someone to do it for her. So when you sent her that dick pic, it wasn't her who saw it. It was some poor intern who doesn't know what to do with that. Like, we forget that everyone is entitled to their privacy. And I think sometimes we also forget that a conversation is a two-way street. And if someone isn't reciprocating, it doesn't have to mean anything. Like, what's that phrase? No answer is still a no. Or like, you can't say the phrase no answer or no response without the word no. And sometimes that is the response. And we think to ourselves, I would have liked a response. I would have liked an answer.
well, something that I've experienced a few times, and I don't really know how to feel about it sometimes when it happens, is that, like, I can get one of those very standard hi, hellos, whatever, and I'll respond, but then it doesn't seem like the conversation is going to go anywhere. And then, like, the other person gets to a point where I feel like they're badgering me, like berating me, like, come on, why aren't you answering? Like, what, and just like it's just this string of hey, and I see it for like 20 messages or something like that. And at that point, I feel harassed. So now I'm even less inclined. It's like now I feel like you're going out of your way to like badger me. So now I feel less motivated than before.
I want to say this here, right? Like because I think we've all, every single one of us, right? And Bruce, this will also apply to you. We have all been on the receiving end of being ignored. We have all been on the receiving end of someone didn't want to reply to that message, right?
Oh, yeah.
I always chalk it up and I always keep to this rule. This rule has never failed me. So listen up. It's the simple rule of three, right? You send one message, you get no response. Fine. You send a second message, no response, that's fine. You send a third message, you get no response. That is it. That is clear as day, right?
Do you think that there's a slight difference with that? Like, say, because I feel like when you're talking about that, you're talking about something where it's a bit more personal and someone's DMing you. Now, like on Instagram, you can react to people's stories.
Oh,
And I
sure.
will react to stories even if they never, ever, ever respond. Like if I
Oh.
really like the gainer, I'll send the heart reaction or the flame reaction. And I know that they're most likely not going to respond, but it doesn't bother me.
Yeah, but that's not a message though. I don't know what you'd call it, but it's basically just like an acknowledgement of engagement, basically. You know, I don't necessarily consider that a message. I could either give 50 of those to someone and not feel like I'm being ignored in a potential connection, and I could receive 50 of those and not feel like I'm obliged to give that person conversation, because that's not what we're doing in that moment. We're acknowledging each other's content, we're giving it the like, we're giving it the moment, right? But that's not that kind of DM conversation. That's not 2,500 messages. You know, to me, that's where that rule of three comes in. When you're making an active attempt to have a conversation with someone, right? I say give it three tries. And even some people might be listening and thinking, even three messages, that's too much, right? Fair enough. If that's you, fair dues. Keep it to two, keep it to one, done, fine. But I think three is a magic number. Three is also a very difficult number to get wrong. One message you might think lost in the sauce. Two messages you might think, oh, maybe they noticed me but got distracted. But three messages, that's a pattern.
Well, there's also the fact that Grommr's not a well-maintained website in terms of like notifications and shit like that. Like it is really buggy. There are
Well,
times where like I have sent replies to people and then they've come back like, you haven't responded to me. And I'm like, no, I did. And then when they look, they're like, oh, wait a minute, I never got that a notification for that message back. And
yeah, you can have multiple threads on Grommr, which, look, who knows? Maybe 2,500 messages, if they rolled all that into like one continuous message, who knows how many people there are, right? But I think that number is still quite visceral, and you can see it because I can see it in my brain, that little alarm bell notification and the bright red font with the bolded white text, that number. So I can imagine that that's quite an anxious, like an anxiety-inducing thing. Yeah. Like that number is just it's big. It's big and it's powerful. I mean, I want to ask you both here, like, because this is something that we see in gayner culture, and I'm not a part of other kink communities. I don't know if this happens in other kink communities. I don't even know if it really happens in the gay community, really. I mean, I'm sure there are people that are well regarded for different reasons, but where does this idolization of people come from? Why are we so inclined to create this atmosphere?
personally, I think people confuse sexual desire with like self, how do I put this, with self-actualization. It's like there's plenty of times that I have seen someone out there in the gainer community and I get really like, oh my God, I just love everything that they post, but like, is it because I want to sleep with them or is it because I want to be them? And with several of them, I've had conversations with you, James, where it's like, no, I think it's honestly, I want to be this person. Like, I want to achieve what this person has achieved. And that's why I seem to be so like obsessively watching them. And I don't know if most people know how to separate those two things.
Yeah, absolutely. I would 100% agree with you, because I have people I idolize as well, like 100%. And it's very much for me the second of like I want to be that person, and it's because I look at gaining, and I look at that as it's not a job, but it's work. It's effort, especially for being my height and having the high metabolism that that comes with. Like, gaining weight is work. And so seeing other gainers and seeing their progress and their beautiful bellies. Anyway, I started distracted. but seeing that progress, it makes me want to be them, and it inspires me to continue to grow.
There's something I saw recently that it's come to mind. It was a behind the scenes. Anna Kendrick was on Trevor Noah once, and it was one of those like between scenes, between advert break tapings, rah-de-rah. And they just sort of tend to go like, "Oh, audience, do you have random questions for the guest?" And this woman, she calls out to Anna and says, "You're on my boyfriend's special list." And so Anna's right there in the room, and her boyfriend, who hadn't said anything, is sat there mortified because the girlfriend, thinking that this is a fun thing to do, has basically said, "My boyfriend wants to fuck you." And so now this guy who has not consented to her saying this, and this person who's here for a job, who's just been said, "Someone in this room wants to dick you down," both now have to look at each other and go,
Pathetic.
"Hey." And look, I think she was a great sport about it. Obviously, she was very calm and collected and joked, and he, of course, joked nervously, of course. But I just remember thinking to myself, gosh, how awkward of a situation, because in fairness, we all do that amongst ourselves. Oh gosh, if I ever met so and so, oh, I'd blow his back doors in, oh, I do this, oh, I do that. Because you do, right? That's the conversation. But in reality, that's never going to get back to that person. But then you're confronted with this person and you're like, oh, I have to be confronted with the inferences I have made about you. And in that instance, it was just, you're on my list. You're on that special list of people who I get to fuck. But in the case of grammar and in the case of these gaining conversations, oftentimes I think we forget as well, if you do read the message, you're on the other side reading that. And someone might be saying something to you that's very intense for someone you don't know, either as a form of admiration or is something really negative? And maybe to talk about that for a second here, I mean, can I ask what the kind of breakdown is? Do you find you get a lot of good, a lot of bad? Is it more of one or the other? Is it a balance?
As far as what people say when they reach out to me.
Yeah, do you find that you get a lot of people? Because this is my hope. Right? This is my hope, that if I had sent you one of those messages, that it would have been something nice and simple. "Hey, just wanted to say, I think you're awesome. You look great. Keep doing what you're doing. You're an inspiration. Have a good day. Keep it pushing." But then when we reflect on this kind of access culture where people feel emboldened to say things from behind a keyboard that may not be the kindest, do you receive much of that?
Oh yes.
Mm.
Oh yes. And that's the unfortunate thing too, is and that's easier for me to handle than guilt, because that's a you are stepping over a barrier, you are stepping over a line. Like, no, back off. And I'm not talking about, oh my gosh, you're so sexy, I want to fuck you. I'm not talking about a random dick pic that's on my way. I don't like that. That's whatever, right? That's whatever. And when I say dick pic, I don't mean like a full body shot. I mean like a dick pic. But
Yeah, I get them occasionally too.
yeah, it's fine. Like, we get it. It's okay. But I have received people telling me, "Oh, you're a narcissist that never responds to people. Oh, you ghosted me because you didn't respond to me for 2 months. Oh, you don't care about me." And that when it comes after my sense of morality, which I try to hold pretty high, it hurts. And that's what hurts the most. I've gotten death threats for
Oh
people
my
not responding
gosh.
to me legitimately. I've had someone show up to my house.
Oh wow.
And those are the hard lines that are easier for me to be like, nope, you're out, you're gone. Like, we're not doing this. But it's the pains of guilt. It's the why don't you respond to me? Those are what get to me. And truthfully and honestly, about one out of every 50 conversations turn into that. And that number is too high for me to want to continue to respond to everyone. That number is, I do not handle guilt emotion well at all. I never have.
I mean, it's a sucky fucking emotion, you know? And I think especially, and I again I identify with that growing up like the bit of a loser kid that gets rejected by people. So you know what it's like to be on the other side of it. So that when people want to play the Uno reverse and say, no, now it's you doing it, you're sat there like, how dare you? You don't know the like after what I've been through in my life, I would never do that to people. And yet, because of the way in which we have built up this society, this culture of popularity, it's put that on you. You didn't consent to be someone that people put in high regard. And yes, it is lovely, as we come back to, it is nice that people think that. Of course it's lovely. It would never not be lovely for people to think nice and kind things about you. But there are aspects of the reality of that lived situation that I think many of us just do not fucking consider. And that's where we come to with this type of conversation, you know? So I mean, aside from this demand to respond to messages, what are some of these expectations that people place on you?
Expectations. So there is a benefit to being my size and having as much experience with gaining as I have, is I can set that, like, no, we're being unrealistic here. No, I'm not going to chow down on 25 Hasburgers in 5 minutes. Like, that's just not realistic. But as far as like feeding expectations go, but as far as like social expectations, that one's hard. That one's hard because I'm such an introvert, and because like I've never been to BRW, I've never been to the Grom, I've never been to any event. I haven't. For me, a lot of people, a lot of my interactions are strictly online and strictly over text. So I don't have a sense of obligation to myself to match social demands that other people might have, because I don't get out. I'm an introvert.
What I kind of love about this is, and I know, Tim, we've talked about this on a few episodes, that fantasy versus reality element where so many people in the community haven't actually been. You know what? Most people in this community haven't even met another gamer, right? Like, they know themselves, they know the people they chat to, and that's it. They've never so much as uttered the words out of their mouth physically to another human being, right? And that is a big thing, and that's a big part of why I think we struggle to delineate that sometimes, because we are just stuck in this little bubble. We are stuck on the forums that we are on. And for some of us, that's because we don't want to get out or don't feel a need to get out, as you've expressed. Some people live rural. Some people live in countries where there is no community, and so they have no choice but to be a part of these spaces, which is wonderful that these spaces exist. But much like we've learned through the advent of social media, there are ways in which humans are interacting online that need to be considered. And I think part of that is when you live your life in this community purely online, maybe there is a bit of a skewing that happens when it comes to those expectations and the reality of having those expectations met. Because we're so used to sending out messages and getting messages back, we develop a rhetoric of what we think is appropriate or what we think makes sense or is logical, right? And we don't consider other people in that. When I send a message to a friend, because of course, like most of us, my friends are scattered all over the world. Tim's 5 hours behind me, but there is a very good chance that when I send Tim a meme, Tim will be awake to see it. But also, when I send Tim memes, I'm not thinking about whether Tim's awake. I'm just sending them to him because I'm awake and I saw a meme that I thought was relevant to Tim. So I'm like, ah-ha-ha. And I think, well, you'll either see it right away or you'll see it when you wake up or you'll see it when you're on break from work. Like, there's no expectation for Tim to immediately respond, but also that comes from an inbuilt relationship. I know Tim. I know Tim will eventually respond. This is a guaranteed friend because we've spent the time to build that. And I wonder if this is maybe one of the talking points we should come to here, that in order for you to have an expectation to receive a response from someone, you should have a connection first. And if you don't have a connection, maybe you need to just be more willing to let that one go. Like if you're at a club and you hit on someone and they don't want to go with you, that's fine. You drop it, you move on to the next person. Or if you're at a social event and you're trying to network with people, you're not going to get on with everyone. So it's okay if people don't get on with you. Let that go, move
The
on.
timing could be everything too,
Oh, yeah.
like you could, like you could get a message and you could be getting messages from a lot of people and one of them falls through the cracks and then you just forget about it. Like I also have a bad habit of seeing that someone has messaged something. I'm at work, I look at it and I think, okay, I'll respond in a little bit, and then I forget to respond. But timing is a lot to do with me personally about getting responses back. It's like, it's not a good time. It's not going to happen. Like I have a very busy life. I have my house, my job, my dog, my boyfriend, my roommate. Like I have a lot of shit that happens in my immediate life. And I'm sorry, I can't just sit on my phone.
I want to ask here, because we've obviously talked a lot about these things around popularity and how much they can weigh on us, and weighing on you especially, which again, it breaks my heart that people have had the audacity to say some of the things they've said to you. But I want to ask you here, we've talked about expectations people have placed on you. What are some of the expectations you place on yourself?
I am a very self-critical person by nature, and I think a lot of us are. I think a lot of us are because we are with ourselves 100% of the time, and we know what our brain is thinking, and we know how lazy we are, and we know things that we can get done. We know we can clean the room. We know we can go eat that burger. We know we can blah, 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 this and that. Some days my expectations are to wake up and try to get 10,000 calories in. Some days my expectations are trying to get out of bed and brush your teeth because that's the reality of being a human. And I hate to say that I have the latter days more often than I would like. And it's clearly something that, I'm working on and I'm knowledgeable about, and it's work. To work on that mental health of like, I deserve to get up, I deserve to walk to the bathroom, I deserve to self-care for myself. But it's going to tie very closely to your point of self-worth. And that's not something that I have a lot of. I grew up with a very demanding father figure that I could not ever appease. I grew up with like I said, with elementary school, with the kids completely shunning me to the side, like my per and that's a very impressionable age, right? Like you can absolutely turn it around and put on a front and become someone who is self-worthy and who is strong to themselves and what have you. But the reality is that's going to happen in And the impact that has is I have very high expectations of myself to perform, to be liked. And with that, it's the expectations I put on myself are high. I've always been a very high achieving person. I've always been, when I go into something, I go into it with 110% of everything that I can give. And that's just how I was raised. That's how I am as a person. Like, if I'm not interested, it's a 0%. If I am interested, I overdo it. So the expectations I put on myself are they're gonna vary on the day, but they're always going to be very extreme.
I relate to this so hard. The Tim's nodding his head because we've had I mean, in part for me, obviously it's the podcast, right? Like so many podcasts have short seasons of like maximum 20 episodes. I was sat here like, nah, one episode for every week of the year on a Tummy Tuesday. It's a 52 episode season with at least 10 special episodes every season. So actually that's, a fuck ton of work, and it's so much and so many people and getting them through the door, and it's conversations and sometimes that is a lot of work and it's a lot of pressure to stay on top of it all and what you can put on yourself. And some days the congratulations is I showered. Some days the congratulations is I actually ate enough, not even overate to gain. Some days I just ate enough, right? And I had to force myself to do it, but dang it, I did it. And like, oh, yeah, Tim.
Well, no, this is more about sort of like the expectations that you place on yourself and being a people pleaser. Because when I started getting attention on Grommer for putting on weight, because of the way I'm shaped, and you already know this, James, because I've told you about it, that a lot of people hit me up for MPreg stuff. And there was a particular person who was hitting me up for photos of me and wanted them to be in specific ways. And the only way that I can describe the kind of vibe he wanted me to portray was he wanted me to portray myself as a sort of barefoot pregnant housewife, you know, to the point where I was taking a lot of pictures of myself in really strange get-ups. Like his big thing was he always wanted me to find a dress shirt and like take the bottom of it and like tie it so that it was like you know what I'm talking about, like how do I describe this? It's like you take the bottom part of the
Like
shirt and you tie it in a way that
the
is
date.
it like almost to denote whether like you had tits, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. And then like usually like a pair of cut off like Daisy Duke jean shorts, and like this is what he wanted me in all the time. And I can't believe I did it. I did it a lot for this person. And finally, I was like, you know what? Why am I even doing this? I'm not even into Mpreg. I don't. Why am I going out of my way to please this guy so much? And that's really when I stopped doing it. I'm like, no, if you want stuff, it's on my friggin' profile. Everything I've ever created is somewhere for you to find. If you really want pictures, go there. I stopped with the whole specific request thing.
Yeah, I just think this is such an important conversation in terms of managing expectations, managing self-care, and you said this at the beginning, it's about giving yourself grace. And if there's one thing I've learned, it's coming from a background of self-punishment. I say I give myself grace and I give myself the tiniest of microdoses that you wouldn't have even noticed it existed. And then my body is like, more grace, please. And then I'm like, how dare you? I gave you plenty of grace, you ungrateful bastard. But no, we require more grace, and we should always be willing to give ourselves grace because fucking no one else is gonna. So do you know what? We've talked around, I think, some really big parts of the conversation here today. Before we continue, again, I just want to say thank you for being so open, so willing to share and being vulnerable with us, because I think this is such an important conversation. But to maybe pivot to something with a little more joy, I'd actually really love it if you could tell us just a little bit about who Bruce is.
I'm a gainer.
You're a gainer, you love to get fat. Wow, inspired. No, do you know what? You mentioned some things before. Let's talk about it. You were a library kid. What kind of books do you like?
Oh, that was just for middle school. And that was just because my friends were library kids.
Well, board games.
Board games, big gamer, big gamer. So lots of board games. Nintendo Switch is where you're gonna find me 90% of the time when I'm not actively trying to fatten up. And that was my escapism when I was a kid, and it never went away, right? Again, it's that whole 110%. If I'm doing something, I'm doing something all the way through. And so I play a lot of board games and video games. That is me in a nutshell. And then other little side projects that I do, like I quilt.
You quilt. Like who the fuck quilt? Like who the fuck quilts? That's cool. How'd you get into quilting?
So growing up, my mom was always working on the quilt, and it was always 3 o'clock in the morning, you hear da 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 at the sewing machine downstairs. Because she got up at 3 to 4 o'clock in the morning every morning. That was her schedule. I go to bed at 3 to 4 o'clock every night. That's my schedule. Like we would cross paths. But She was always working on something. And if you're around someone for, I don't know, I lived with my parents 22, 23 years is when I finally moved out. You pick it up. And so, right now I'm actually working on a wedding quilt for a couple civilian friends that I have. And anytime I'm working on it, it brings me back to that like comforting sitting in the living room with my mom thing, right?
That's really nice. It's really wholesome. I love that.
So it's you're either going to see me in a harness and a jock strap trying to get fat and showing off, or in a sweatshirt and pajama pants on a quilting machine drinking a hot cocoa. Like
I love it. It's somehow both Santa and Mrs. Claus. Like it's the best of both worlds, as Hannah Montana would say. That's fantastic. I'm kind of curious because you mentioned you were a Pokemon fan. Are you still a Pokemon fan?
Heyo, call it to all the nerds. Heyo. Yes. I don't do, and I don't want to get into the podcast too much about this, but I don't do like the DLCs, but I still play the main Pokemon games.
That's okay.
It's
We can talk. We can talk.
I have like 8,000 Pokemon cards. Like I'm a nerd.
Again, I love it. I mean, and not to, how do I want to say this? I feel like we talked about this on a podcast episode not too long ago, where no, do you know what? I think it was with Feed Me Daddy. That's right, because it was a conversation around how sometimes people will reach out and the messages can just be very stunted and basic because people just don't seem to know how to broach conversation topics when they don't know you as a person. But as I argued, there's a whole profile you've got to go through before you get to the message button. And that should tell you something about someone. Generally speaking, people will list their likes and dislikes. There are ways that you could start a conversation that is perhaps more of a standout, right? Than just, hey, not that this should be people's impetus to start to stalk people to like send these messages. So therefore, probably we'll cut that bit out, actually. We'll scrap on that. Never mind. Just
Well,
as I got to that point, I was like, actually.
I think that the art of conversation has just been lost. People don't really they used to call it the art of conversation because it really is an art form. It's there is small talk and chit chat that anybody can do, where it's just very surfacey, like, how's the weather? Oh, it's a bit chilly out there today. And then there is the actually being able to hold a conversation with someone. And this was something that I struggled with too for a long time because I was a wallflower and I didn't really know how to ingratiate into a situation. Like I've said, I believe I've said it before, being a part of the leather community helped me get over that. And just be able to, like, I'm not just gonna walk up to a group of strangers and be like, hey, how's it going? How is everybody? Like, it's not like that. But should I be standing in proximity to people? I can hold a conversation if they're willing. And I think that this is just something that most people have forgotten how to do or were never taught how to do. It's just been lost because, again, with the connectivity of the internet and everyone having a screen that they can pull out and distract themselves, conversation really just died. And I feel like we could bring it back. It's going to be work. And that's the thing is you have to be willing to disconnect from the virtual world you're holding in your palm and engage with the world that's around you.
I want to ask you here, how do you want people in the community to treat you differently compared to how they treat you now?
Oh, I mean that's going to be on an individual basis, right? And it's going to be you can't put that answer to that question in a box and tie it up real pretty. You can't. But I think generally speaking, people need to remember that there is a person on the other side. It is not just a sex bot. It is not an AI program. It is not someone to get you off whenever you want, however fun that is when it does line up. And this is something that I'm working on too. It's very much like it's a person. There's a person with 22 to 40, 60 years of experience behind them. Think about every second that I've been awake, I'm 34 years old at this point. And I realize that I have experienced my life for 34 years. Still have someone else who's 35, still have someone else who's 40. And when you think about it that way, when you think about the amount of life that you've had and realizing that other people have had the same amount of life, but with a different viewpoint, it kind of opens up that conversation of everyone goes through life. It opens up the conversation of everyone is going to have different experiences, but everyone has that opportunity. And they have that opportunity to be kind. They have that opportunity to put more good in the world. They have that opportunity to be interested, not interesting. They have that opportunity to, and this isn't just a conversation, like how I want people to approach me. This is how I want people to approach people. It's not about the grammar level status at this point. It's about getting the message that out that people are people, and it doesn't matter their status. It doesn't matter the front they're putting on. They still have experiences. They've still cried. They've still, majority of people have spent a day curled up in bed. A majority of people have spent a day out in complete happiness and bliss, just being with people that they love. And it's realizing that while we have this grammar celebrity status, if you will, if we have this famous status that we put on people like Taylor Swift or, Beyonce or what have you, everyone's still a person, and everyone goes through life in the same amount of time. It ends at a different point for everyone, but a second to me is a second to you. A minute to me is a minute to you. And we need to start approaching the world in an aspect of treating people with kindness and treating people with respect.
I mean, that's it. This whole conversations around fantasy and reality, expectations, friendship, mentorship. I mean, just everything we always talk about, every point we ever seem to come back to, it comes back to this point of understanding that within this space, who you are is enough, who someone else is valid. You're not missing out by not talking to someone. All connections are good. Breathe. Yeah. God damn. Well, has been a good episode, I think. This has been wonderful. And again, I want to thank you, Bruce, for sharing. And from the bottom of your heart, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for sharing from the bottom of yours. This has been a wonderful experience, and I just want to ask here as a way to close out the episode. Let's say the community does start to do these things. Let's say we do start to apply this and walk with a little more kindness in the world. What does the community look like when we do that?
More self-confidence. I think that's what it looks like. I think it comes to the aspect of not needing validation from other people. I think that's something that is very hard for a lot of us. There's reasons that there's so many sub-gators, if you will. There's so many people that want their lives controlled. There's so many people that want that feeding in the middle of the night to go get milk, to go get an Oreo, to go get whatever, right? Just being told what to do. And I think if we start treating each other with more kindness, treating ourselves with more kindness and more grace and as much understanding as we would to a friend who's being down on themselves, we're going to see a lot less validation seeking and a lot more, I'm going to do this for me. And there's a difference between the two.
100%, 100%. 100%. I love that. I think to kind of piggyback off that, like a community where there's more kindness is a community where half the problems that we talk about on this podcast just don't exist. Like a community with more kindness is a community where it's not just that more people get attention and get to be celebrated. It's a community where people who are new to gaining get more of that mentorship and support wherein they need it. It's a community where people who have gained their first 5, 10, 15 pounds, who haven't hit 200 yet, are still being uplifted and cheered on because we know they can do it, rather than it being a rat race of who can make it to the end with all the hurdles being thrown down. It becomes one of those awesome team building events where everyone's like walking in sync and kind of amazed that we can do it, because actually that's what humans can do when humans put their mind to it. And maybe, Tim, like you said, maybe that's a bit idealistic. Maybe that's a bit of a pipe dream, but you know what? I'd rather work towards that than sit there and go, everything is terrible.
It's not unachievable. And I think that it will follow whatever mainstream society's trends are, right? Because look at what the trend in society is right now with holding people accountable for when they're shitty and for trying to uplift people who are having mental health issues. Like there is a movement that's growing out there in mainstream society, and that will have a trickle-down effect. So I do think that as future generations of gainers come along, it will shift. I don't know. It's not going to be a utopia. That's not possible. But we will get closer to a place where the kinds of things that Bruce has experienced, like with extreme negative comments and death threats and all that, just because of not answering a message, like I feel like that will lessen. Those will become outliers.
And they are outliers, but they stick out.
Bruce, this has been a journey and it's been a pleasure. It really has. I think this has been such a wonderful opportunity to not only learn about you, but actually to really talk about something that, let's be frank, it's a big conversation. It's something that gets a lot of people feeling a lot of feelings. And this is, I think, one of the first times people have really talked about it in any kind of big, deconstructed way. So I want to thank you for being vulnerable. That's been, I think, a fantastic week here on the pod. Bruce, where can our listeners find you online?
Ooh, that's a good question. You're gonna find me on Grommer, and you're gonna know about me on Grommer. then, so I'll be Calmates are there, Kametzer. And Instagram is probably the other one that I'll use. So Calmates are 36. Same concept. Because that's 36 at the end.
Fantastic. Well, that's it for another week here on Thick Radio. Please remember to like and subscribe, rate us 5 stars, and leave us a good review. If you liked this episode, the podcast, or just us in general, share it with your friends and encourage them to tune in. You can find me on Instagram, Blue Sky, Beefy Frat, Stuff and Show, and Oh My Nom at Stanum.
And you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, TikTok, and Beefy Frat at Thicky Mouse. You can also look us up on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok at Thick Radio, or at our website at www.podpage.com/thickradio. If you want to submit a voice note or become a supporter of the show, you can find the links in the show notes. And if you have any questions or ideas for episodes, you can reach us at thethickradio@gmail.com. So until next time, bye, fats.
Bye, fats.
By that.
Let's talk about it.
Thick Radio is a Patreon and Anchor app podcast produced by Stan and Dickie Mouse.
Mixed and mastered by Stan.
Our artwork is provided by Loki 2.
Our theme song is provided by Bonfire Cream.